All right, it's good to have you.
Nice to be here.
All right, this is Helen Rogers, and my wife got to know her through, babe, you're going to have to tell us. How did you get to know?
Just going down and
volunteering at the Agape Pregnancy Support Services. But I'm going to let her tell you what she does and what her ministry is. Her husband is a pastor, which thrills me. He's retired, but you know, pastors, they don't stay retired very long.
He's an interim now,
you know. So, but it's good to have you this morning. Hope we're a blessing. And take about 10, 15 minutes, if you would.
I'll try.
And
if I get too long, just go.
All right. Okay. Well, it's good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. God bless you. Now, if we have Jesus in our hearts, it should show on our face, right? I tell people a lot of times the reason the world doesn't want Jesus is because it doesn't show up here. And the world looks like a lot of times Christians look like they've had a laxative instead of Jesus Christ's joy, is the joy in their life. We serve an awesome God, and He has placed us down here for such a time as this. I hear people complain all the time that, you know, I don't know why I'm here. This is such a terrible time to live. It's an exciting time to live because God has placed us here now. He chose us for this world to be in such a mess to be the light. So it is an exciting time. I have been doing crisis pregnancy centers for 26 years. I was a kindergarten teacher for 40 years. I could still catch them, but God told me I had to quit that one. And I had to do the crisis pregnancy centers. I have found that 26 years ago, we had 5 children of our own and we borrowed 4. And so we had 9 children of our own. I taught school all day long, had kids at school, at church, and I love kids. And I just know that they're gifts from God. And so one night I saw an abortion on TV and I was livid. I was so angry. I said, God, I am so redheaded. Who do you want me to fight? And God said, oh, Helen, we're not going to fight. We're going to start a crisis pregnancy center and we're going to help these young ladies through love. And so that started 26 years ago. I remember telling the Lord, okay, Lord, I'll go to that crisis pregnancy center, but I'm only going to fold for baby clothes. Okay, Lord? Yeah. He said, okay, for a little bit. But pretty soon Ed and I have helped start 12 of these pregnancy centers in North Carolina. And we have now one in Columbia, South America, called Jesus Loves the Little Children. And a crisis pregnancy center is simply this. We are the hands, the feet, the heart of Jesus Christ standing up for these precious babies in the womb and these precious mothers. I was over at Planned Parenthood yesterday, and I had part of the speaking. They're doing 40 Days for Life. And as I watched those precious mothers walking into Planned Parenthood, my heart was so grieved because God has a plan for every one of those precious babies. And every one of those mothers, and I have never met a woman in 26 years that I've done this who was ever glad that she aborted her baby. Not one. All I hear is the grief and the heartache and the pain. And yesterday, this week, we do have a little pregnancy center right across the road, a little satellite off Agape, right in front of Planned Parenthood. And we're like the David, and they're like the Goliath, and we're praying that they're going to close. Because I've asked God for the building and I want it for a dollar. Because I believe my God can give me one on this side of town. The Agape Pregnancy Center used to be an abortion clinic for 27 years. And He can give us that building. That building can be ours too. It would make a great pregnancy center. So I can't wait to start moving the furniture in. Because I know my God is big. But I got there early yesterday. And we had a little girl come across the road from the Planned Parenthood this week to talk to some of the volunteers. And she had said, no, I'm going Saturday. I'm going back to get an abortion. So I walked in the door yesterday and God said, Helen, call Kayla. And Kayla doesn't know me. She just knows of the ladies that were there on Tuesday. So I called her and I told her how it was. And I said, God has told me to call you this morning. And she starts crying. I said, what is it, honey? She said, Miss Helen, you are a sign. I said, what do you mean a sign? She said, I have my $385 in my hand to go to the abortion clinic this morning. And I had just prayed, God, if you don't want me to abort this baby, knowing all the things that's going on, will you send me a sign? Well, that precious, precious lady is coming into the center tomorrow night. And she will get a free ultrasound, which we do free ultrasounds. We give baby clothes, maternity clothes. I'll even go cut the cords. Whatever it takes to help these precious mamas and babies meet Jesus Christ. And I've got to tell you one story because I love the story. And there are many stories. And when you get a chance, excuse me, I have a book out there on the table. I tell people that God wrote the stories and I did the typos, okay? Because God don't make mistakes. But I had a little girl to call me. Her name was Melissa. Now, this is what happens at the Agape Pregnancy Support. I don't know how you get abortion out of Agape Pregnancy Support, but she called and she said, Miss, do you do a two-for-one sale? And I said, what do you mean, honey? She said, I'm expecting twins and I need an abortion for twins. I said, honey, we don't do abortions nor do we refer for abortions, but don't you hang up on me. She didn't. And we talked, and I said, honey, why do you want an abortion? She said, because I have got no way of taking care of twins. And she said, I don't want these babies. And I said, would you please just come in and talk to this little old woman? I mean, this woman, I mean, you know, I'm old. Just come in and humor me and talk to me for a little bit. She said, I already have an appointment planned for Thursday at Planned Parenthood at 10 o'clock. I'm going to keep my appointment. She says, but I might come in to see you. Well, Melissa did come in, but let me tell you Melissa's story. Melissa came in, but I didn't talk about the babies. I talked about Melissa. See, Melissa comes from a home where she was told every day of her life she was a mistake. Her mother said, I should have aborted you. You're the reason Daddy left is because you were so ugly. Every day of her life, for 29 years, she has been told that. She has never been told she's beautiful, and she's a beautiful young woman. But we talked about it. Then I asked her about her relationship with Jesus Christ because we're not a social service. We're ministry. And I said, who is Jesus to you, honey? She said, I only know him as a curse word. She said, I don't know much about this Jesus. I said, oh, well, please, can I tell you about him? I said, I know him personally, and he's done some awesome things in my life. Can I tell you about my Jesus? And she listened, and then at the end of the conversation, she said, that's all well and good, but I'm still going to the abortion clinic on Thursday at 10 o'clock. I said, well, honey, can I pray for you? She said, yeah, you can pray for me. I said, well, here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that you have 4 flat tires on Thursday. I'm going to pray that if snows 10 inches of snow and you can't get out the door. I'm going to pray that that insurance card you took last week won't work on Thursday. She said, you would pray that? I said, listen. I said, honey, because God has a plan for you and these precious babies, and it is not to go to that abortion clinic. Well, we prayed all week, and on Thursday about 12 o'clock, I called her, and she was happy, and I knew she hadn't been. I said, okay, honey, what happened today? She said, Miss Helen, you're probably going to believe this, but I went to the abortion clinic and I already had my insurance approved last week and they wouldn't take my insurance card. I said, really? She said, but you already knew that, didn't you? And she said, and this Jesus you keep talking about, he keeps getting in my way. I said, honey, he ain't finished yet. I said, you come on back in. We need to talk some more. Let us love on you some. And so she said, well, I'll be in to see you next week. But let me tell you what the little stinker did. She took $1,000 cash. She went to Raleigh. She walked into an abortion clinic in Raleigh. She said, I'm here for an abortion. I'm expecting twins. The abortionist never examined her. He took one look at her and he said, oh, you are one day too late. If that man had touched her, he would have died. Because the covering of Jesus Christ was on this young woman. She says, Miss Helen, what is going on? Jesus, he's everywhere I go. I said, oh, yes, he is, honey. So she came in, and we walked her through the pregnancy, and these two beautiful little baby girls were born. And I held them both in my arms, And I thought, Lord, is it worth all the time, all the energy, all the things that go on to fight this battle? And it is. It is worth it because God has planned for it. Since then, she's accepted Jesus. She brings the little girls over once a month and she'll say, Miss Helen, my mama says I'm a terrible mama. I should have killed the babies. Am I a good mama? I said, honey, you are the best mama. I said, you've accepted Jesus. You love Jesus. You're trying to raise him in the Lord. And these precious babies are beautiful. They're always so taken care of and so happy. I said, you are a good mama. She came in one day and she said, Miss Helen, I found a young man at church and I think I like him. I said, oh, hold it, honey. We got too much invested in you and these children. I said, we just don't take any riffraff off the street. It's got to be a God-ordained man coming into your life. I need to meet him. She said, Miss Helen, are you serious? I said, I am serious. I am your other mother. She looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, Miss Helen, you are not my other mother. You are my mother. We fight this battle every day. In America, we have a blight on us. 64 million children have died since 73. Three babies a minute die in America every day. And God says that he's going to hold us accountable. Now, I used to grieve over that. 64 million is not the same as 14,000 that we've seen saved. But my God showed me this. He said, Helen, if you'll be faithful with the one mom and one baby I placed in front of you. He said, honey, let me show you heaven. That mother has accepted Jesus and she's raised her children in the Lord. They've accepted children Jesus and raised their children in the Lord. And it goes on and on. When we get to heaven, there will be generations if we are faithful to what God has called us to do. You cannot say you can do not know that abortion is wrong. We can no longer put our head in the sand. Israel was punished for throwing their children to idols, and we have done that in America. We have now got to take a bold stand to be politically correct as not in the Bible. To be God correct is in the Bible. And God values children. In fact, he said he would put a millstone around your neck if you mess with a child. Children are gifts from God, no matter how they got here. And the youngest girl I've ever had was a 12-year-old who was raped and a 52-year-old that was pregnant. But all are gifts. You are a planned creation of God. And so is every one of these precious children. I desire that you pray that Planned Parenthood will go down. And I just don't want it to go down. I want those people in there to get Jesus Christ. And if they ain't going to do it the right way, let it go down. Because we would like to have that building. We need more room. And we, even if abortion was outlawed in America, you would still need little crisis pregnancy centers. And let me say this is the last thing. Don't judge. There, by the grace of God, could go you and I. Amen. Jesus said that he that is without sin cast the first stone. None of us can throw stones. These precious children, these young women who come to us, are precious in the sight of God. No matter what they've been doing or where they've been, and many times it's because their families are so messed up. Their mamas and daddies are not even being the mamas and daddies they should be. And these young people are scared and alone. And the greatest hope they can ever get is Jesus Christ. A little boy told me one time we had a prostitute sitting on them outside the center. And he said, Miss Helen, there's a girl sitting on our bench. She needs food and she needs Jesus. I said, well, honey, I'll take her some food out. Try to talk to her about Jesus again. So I went out to the bench and the girl on the bench, y'all, is a 52-year-old prostitute. And I took the food out and I asked the girl about Jesus again. She didn't want Jesus. But I took the food out. We keep trying. I went back in and little Joy bust the counseling door open. He said, Miss Helen, did you give the girl food? Did you tell her about Jesus? I said, Joey, I did give her some food. And yes, honey, I did try to tell her about Jesus. But Joey, she didn't want Jesus today. He said, Miss Helen, we not give up. So we not give up, people. We not give up. God has placed us here for such a time as this. You are all missionaries. Every single one of you have a calling on your life. If it's to speak to that girl at the cash register, or if it's the doctor's office, or wherever God places you, there are divine appointments all around you. So go out and be. Don't you want to hear Daddy say one day, or Abba Daddy say, "Oh, honey, you did a good job. I'm so proud of you, my daughter, my son." And God will say that. We were placed down here not to occupy a pew, but to win the world for Jesus Christ. Because he's coming soon, and not to a theater near us. He's going to bust that sky wide open. My dear Papa used to say, "You love Helen, you can't take a thing to heaven with you, but you can load your wagon for the kingdom." So go load your wagon for the kingdom, one person at a time. And please pray for us.
Helen, stay up here. I got a few questions. How do you help? In what ways do you help? Do you help with diapers? Do you help financially? In what ways do you help?
Okay, whatever the girl needs, if she comes in and she needs, we have make a beautiful basket of brand new clothes for mamas. We give her that. We can give her free ultrasound. We give out food bags. We we do parenting classes with them. We can refer them to places where they can go and stay if they're living in the bridge, which we do have some of my girls living in the bridge, or in motels. So we try to refer whoever comes to our door, married, single, it doesn't make any difference. It can be a prostitute or a pimp off the street. Whoever comes to our door, all are told and shared the love of Jesus Christ.
How can adults volunteer? How can they?
Okay. Adults can volunteer, but also take teenagers. Because I love it when my teenagers come from high school. They'll come over and they sort baby clothes and they fix bags. But what happens is they take those little cards back to their school and share with the girls that are pregnant there.
Wow. Okay.
And then adults can come. There's always something to do around there. There's newsletters to be done. There's bags of food that need made, baby clothes that need to be sorted, layettes that need to be made. And it's like Grand Central Station. But it's exciting.
How many of the young ladies or even couples that come in, how many of them come to embrace the gospel? Is it a large percentage?
We have some girls who already know Jesus, but they rededicate their lives.
Okay.
We have some that come to know Jesus, and I have a bell. That little man was ringing that little bell out there, and every time he ringing, I thought, "Oh, somebody's accepting Jesus." Because I have one at the center. Every time somebody accepts Jesus, I was raised Methodist.
Uh-huh.
I married a Baptist husband,
that.
But I'm Pentecostal. So, Baptist-costal. So when somebody gets Jesus at the center, I run up and down the halls with a bell going, "Somebody got saved, somebody got saved." So when that bell rang this morning, I went, "Who got saved, who got saved?" So yes, we, and then we have the ones that don't know Jesus. But here's what I pray. When they come to me and they don't want Jesus, I'll say, "May I pray for you?" And then here's what I pray. I pray, and I tell them this. I said, "I'm going to pray you don't sleep a wink tonight until you and Jesus have a conversation."
Yeah.
And so that has worked. God has done some mighty things there. So,
do you refer them to adoption agencies?
Yes, we have an adoption educator at the center who helps. We have some portfolios. We're not in the adoption business, but we have some portfolios. If a young girl wants to put her baby up for adoption and there's a family that wants a baby, we try to hook them together and they go the rest of the way. But I will tell you this. I've heard this too many times. I have heard young women say, "I'd rather abort my baby than put my baby up for adoption." Just sad.
All right. Thank you so much,
no,
Helen.
God
Thank
bless you.
Thank you so much. Good to have you. Nope, you're fine.